This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4097 for Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled, Will They Take Our Jobs? Of course they will. It is hosted by DODD Dummy and is about 34 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is I blather on about my thoughts on robots taking our jobs.
Hello, this is DODD Dummy with today's episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is one of those episodes that I recorded several times. I didn't upload it, and now it kept seeming like I was already kind of late. But anyway, I'm going to record this again and then upload it today itself. We'll see. If you're listening to this, then I got it done. My plan is to only do bare minimum processing, so maybe take out, have the automatic tools that take out empty spaces, and that's really going to be it. Now, the topic for today is, will the robots take our jobs? And I know that's been a topic for quite a while now, but I think it's changed here in the last, I don't know, year or so, and it seems to keep changing, at least in my mind. So anyway, that's going to be the topic. And I specifically say robots because I know there's some debate over, you know, if people are calling it AI and it's not really AI. But for me, the question isn't really are large language models actually AI or not. That's an interesting question, and I guess they're not, but it's not really, in my mind, it's not the main question to me. And so the main question is, at least in my mind, is will the robots take our jobs? And I specifically say robot because I'm really not speaking specifically about AI, because I think once we get to the fact it's really AI, then it for sure will. I'm just talking about the kinds of things that current gen or soon to be current gen automation can do. So to me, that incorporates everything from doing current jobs faster and hopefully with more precision or more accuracy, better results, quicker timings, etc., etc. And I know there's a lot of people who are pretty good in the tech world who keep saying, no, it's not possible. If you're creative or if you're human, you bring something to the table that the robots can't bring to the table. And all of that, to me, I agree with. But the thing is, that's not really the concern, is that it's going to create, at least I don't think it should be the concern. Will robots replace the creative among us? And let's just to say, and you guys probably are at least as good a judge of this as I am, but in the real world, the kinds of things I want to consume, whether it be actual products or digital things, to me, I think the probably on the high mark, what I would consider creative or genius, is probably less than 30%. I think almost for sure less than 30% of what's out there. So let's assume that those 30% are safe. AI will never be able to, robots, AI will never be able to take their jobs. Let's say they're safe. What I've been saying for quite a while is they don't have to replace the top 20% or the top 30 or even the top 40%, 50% to cause an existential crisis. And if I think about all of the, let's say, all of the professional people, all the people that have jobs that I know of, I would say the most of them, probably around 50%, they're just mediocre. And in a lot of places, robots are already good enough to take their jobs. The only reason they haven't is because the people who employ them haven't found the means or the wherewithal to replace them. And so maybe right now it's deemed as too cheap or not feasible. It's a little early. And like I said, to me, that's 50%. 50% of the workforce, I think, are mediocre or worse. That's my opinion. I don't have any stats, but that's kind of how it plays out in my experience. So those are the people that, and let's say I'm wrong and it's only half of that. Okay, and let's say it's even half of that. So that gets us down from 25 to 12 and a half people. So I think it's relatively certain that we can already replace 12.5% of the workforce. And if we do that, I think we're already at existential crisis level. Now, I'm not talking about that on top of whoever's already not looking for jobs. I mean the people right now who are gainfully employed. We could probably replace 12.5%. It's kind of low-hanging fruit. And then what's that going to do to the economy, the governments? That's already getting pretty close to the Great Depression era here in the U.S. And it's probably going to have a snowball effect. So, and like I said, I know I've like on social media that I kind of participate in, it's mostly IRC and Mastodon. Like I said, a lot of people that I think are pretty sharp technically speaking, they keep saying like they're poo-pooing the idea and that it's total bunk. But there's also more and more people who have been saying, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I didn't think there was any way that these large language models could do my job. But now more and more of those people are saying, hey, this current iteration, it's competent. It might be able to greatly assist me at any rate, or just kind of do some of my job. And so to me, that is kind of indication, at least anecdotally, that we are getting closer and closer to where the robots could take our jobs. And in the case of some of these, let's say coders is one. What I consider at least decent coders are saying that now, large language models are making their jobs a whole lot easier, and they can do things faster. I know Martin, Martin Ubuntu Martin, or he's probably would not appreciate that moniker these days, but he said that he coded something in Rust, a language he doesn't even know, and he's got it working. So what's my point here? Let's assume that Martin doesn't have to worry about his job. Because he does seem to have, at least from where I sit, he seems to have done things and be sharp enough that he can probably justify his existence longer than some of us. But what that very well could result in is some junior programmers not getting hired or being let go. If he can do the other stuff and then do Rust and other languages he doesn't even work in, then that to me is a little bit of proof that we are getting to the point where robots will take our jobs, at least a good chunk of them. A large enough percentage to, like I said, cause an existential crisis, cause us to have to be in a world where governments take care of us just because we're human, not because of the job we have or the work we do. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the next couple of years. Because I don't know about where you work, but where I work, they're always telling us that human resources are us. We're the most valuable commodity, or the most valuable. They try to say it in a way that we don't feel like we're cogs in a machine. But anyway, that's what they mean. But still, they lay you off, and they have no issues telling you, even if the manager who's telling you this does, the higher-ups, they don't have any qualms about telling you, hey, thanks for coming in today, but by the way, we don't need you anymore, so we're going to let you go back to your desk and pick up your stuff and get you out of here. They don't have any issues doing that. So it's going to have to be government somehow taking care of us in that regard. And that's been true for a while. You know, there's been talk, universal basic income comes to mind. We've never really moved very, very well on that. I've always thought that it was because it didn't affect some kind of a critical mass of either the type of people that was impacted or the percentage of people. But I think we're getting pretty close to that. Now, in my own world, it's been a while now. I don't exactly know, but I asked ChatGTP 3.5 to do a 3-file compare in COBOL, which is what I'm for the most of my career. I've been a COBOL programmer, and it did a serviceable job. I did have to clean it up a little bit, but after a couple iterations of me asking for changes, it did a serviceable job. And now it probably would have taken me, who I'm pretty familiar with file compares in COBOL, and it probably would have taken me about a day and a half to code that the way they did it. And some of the some of the more junior people I work with would have probably taken them close to a week. So I find that kind of interesting. Now, what are some other examples? Let's go creative. So let's creative as in the arts. They'll never be able to replace Picasso or actual real artist, because that takes humanity. Well, I agree with that, but the thing is, you can sell a lot of artwork, and we do right now, a lot of mediocre artwork gets sold. But it's low price, and it's, you know, quote unquote, the starving artist. I would pay, I would definitely buy and be satisfied with AI generated artwork you know, as long as it's cheaper than the starving artist. And part of that is because I'm not an art connoisseur. It just kind of has to look nice. Sometimes it doesn't even have to look nice. It needs to just kind of blend in with the rest of the room. And I don't think I'm alone in that regard. And so the thing is, I think AI is, and I'm going to say call it AI, even though I realize it's not AI, because that seems to be the name that is sticking. Kind of similar to, like, even though I don't believe in how the, you know, the quote-unquote mainstream folks use the term hacker, sometimes I just call, I slip into that myself. But so I think AI could already replace a lot of the mediocre artists. And so it's true, we're going to still need the genius artists, but you know, we don't need a lot of the lower artists, and they still need to do something. Now you could say, well, they're not really an issue because they'll just keep being waiters like they are now. Well, yeah, maybe that's the case. So, like I said, in my mind, it's already good enough to replace, you know, large percentages of the working artist. And I don't really know a lot about working artists, but I think it's probably already good enough to replace a lot of the commercial artists that, you know, make ads and things like that for companies. And if it's not enough to totally replace them, like I said, I think it's probably a good enough assistance for the good folks, and they can make it to where you don't need nearly as many people. Let's take another one. I just looked at, just like a few minutes ago, and let's see, it was posted on YouTube. It was posted by, I think it was posted earlier today, and today is April 7, 2024. It's Teresa's Chaotic Corner on YouTube. She's a writer, and apparently she's making a living that she's a writer. She didn't say that's her hobby, as far, unless I just missed it, but it doesn't look like it. And so she's asking the question, will AI end creative jobs? And it's a writer contemplates unemployment. And she does this with a free one, so not even a paid one. And she had it create two stories. One, and like I said, I don't know who this is. She sells her work, but I don't think she's like, you know, a triple A writer. I don't think so. So I think she would fit. I'm not going to slide her by saying she's mediocre, but like I said, I don't think she's a triple A writer. And she asked it to create two short stories. One in the style of Stephen King, with the subject of AI taking over human jobs. And the other one, I forgot what you said the other one was, but the other one was to create a short story that's a romance story in the style of some author that I don't remember who it was, but some author, and with Darth Maul and Sith, so two Star Wars characters, and one of them apparently was castrated, and so castrated. And what she said was those stories were competent. Now she said she doesn't think either one of those authors needs to worry about their jobs, but again, to me, those are not the authors that we're really concerned about here. because by the time Stephen King has to worry about his jobs, you know, probably most of the other writers have already lost their jobs. And then that means society has to deal with all of these writers not having work. Now, she called them, the stories, both competent. And she said, she said that if you presented those in high school or maybe even college as short stories in your class, it would kind of be okay, and like you would pass. Now, to me, that already is a pretty good advancement. We have someone here who's a working writer who has, you know, evaluated the evaluated the large language model stories and said, yeah, this is probably high school or college level. Now, to me, what that says is that's pretty decent support for the thought that, okay, we're not too many iterations away from actually being, you know, low-level professional. And it hasn't been that many iterations since people said, oh no, that'll never happen. The stories sound stupid. They don't make any sense. Nobody would think a human, no one would think a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old did this, let alone a professional. So to me, those are the kind of obvious things. Now, I want to bring one more point from my personal experience. In my career, I started around 93, and around 96, I guess. Yeah, that's probably about right. I created my first thing that was improved automation at work. And since then, kind of my main things I've done at work that were what I consider of value were improving automation, where we had competent people, but for whatever reason, they just didn't automate. And I assume it's a combination of the people didn't want to automate. There were some things where I'm like, I remember I took over. This guy was out sick for like, I don't know, he's on vacation for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, but at least a couple of weeks. And I was to take over what he was doing. And so he gives me the training on what he was doing. And it was updating spreadsheets about, I don't know, 400 rows with probably twice as many fields as that was what he did every day. And he did all of this manually. And it was on a Unix system, and he ran some commands or maybe scripts, and he got, actually I don't know, it's a combination of looking things up, but he was copying them manually from there to the spreadsheet. And he did this every day, and he got done around noon, maybe a little bit later. So, and he started, I don't know, he started at least at 8, so 4 hours a day, this is what he was doing. And so I'm like, holy smokes. So I did it that way a couple of days, and then I was going insane. Oh, I did it that way a couple of days, and then I found out that I made some mistakes. Well, I'm human. You know, we sometimes make mistakes. And if you know me, as the joke goes, my grandma used to say, Sonny, when it comes, you know, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And where, as far as you're concerned, you're superhuman. So I thought that was pretty funny. The point being, I make probably more mistakes than most people. So what I found out was I sent out the, and this, he sent it out in the form of a, like a report spreadsheet that he sent out to everybody, because apparently people's work was being driven by this. And so I sent it out the first day, and like within 5 minutes it came back, hey, this is all wrong. And I'm like, holy smoke. Sure enough, I copied something wrong and screwed up a formula, and I was able to fix it by, because I had backups to see, you know, what I messed up. But that happened a couple days in a row, and I'm like, okay, this has got to change. So then I took some time and I scripted it, so where I created the spreadsheet, instead of, you know, I created it, and some of the things that he was doing totally manually and not just cutting and pasting, but where he's actually deriving values before cutting and pasting. So I scripted the whole thing, and then on the, I don't know, sometime that week, I don't remember exactly what day, but someday, sometime that first week, I had it, or it was all, the spreadsheet itself was totally generated. And then imagine this, I didn't have any, when I sent it out, the I didn't have any, you know, any reports that that it was wrong. And so after that, it took me like 5 minutes or less a day to send it out. And I sent it out, and then, you know, my the boss said, hey, this usually doesn't come out until around noon. How did you get it out so fast? And it looks right. Well, yeah, because I automated it. And so I probably cost him his job, actually, because I didn't see him too much later after that. But the point is that, so that's just one thing, and I've automated several other things. One of the things I did on one of the companies I worked for, they would bring on like 10 or 15 seasonal folks, and then I automated a lot of what they were doing, and then they didn't need those seasonal folks anymore, and several other things. And then there was a few things that I automated where the automation didn't cut jobs, but it improved quality and saved mistakes. It could have eliminated jobs that I'm not really aware of, like maybe one or two jobs weren't needed anymore because the we didn't have as many errors to fix. And so the point of that is, I'm just an idiot, and I definitely wasn't using AI. I was just looking at you know, what we're currently doing, and can we automate any of it easier and better, you know, to make it easier and better than what we were doing. And the answer is we could, we just didn't spend the time to do that previously for whatever reason. Now, one of the things to note here is that in my mind, some of this LLMs, since their task, you know, LLM is, you know, trained only up to a certain point, and, you know, you hear the criticism about, or a reason that people would say that AI won't be taking our jobs, is because AI can only do what's already been done. It doesn't have that creative spark. So, okay, sure, let's assume that's correct. Maybe it really is correct, I don't know. But like I said, to me, that's not the point here. But in the case of, and that, how this applies is the work that we're already doing that just isn't automated very well, that has been done. So, and so it should know about that. So that can probably already help us automate things. And if we automate things, again, maybe a significant enough percentage of jobs will be not needed, that we again have, you know, pile on to our existential crisis. And so, and like I said, I saw that just I mean, I've probably been, my projects have probably amounted to the elimination of about 100 jobs over my career. And like I said, I'm just one idiot who is doing low-hanging fruit. And probably most of you listening to this could say, hey, oh, that's what you're doing? Well, why aren't you using, I don't know, Python or Perl or Bash? Or for heaven's sakes, you can even do that with COBOL. Okay, maybe not too many of you are saying that last one. But, like I said, you would be able to look at a lot of the stuff that I've done and say, oh yeah, surely we could do that. We can automate that. So, and now we get these LLMs that make that process faster and better. And even if it, like, even if it doesn't amount to actual AI, I think it's going to help us be able to automate things and do things faster with fewer people. And so those amongst us who are doing the, you know, we're not really, we're just kind of going to work. We're not really doing the, you know, the mental heavy lifting. Those people, I think, are really at, their jobs are really at risk. And so yeah, to me, it's not very far. It's not really hard to see. That's something that's kind of related. If you look back some iterations on where quote unquote AI was, it's really been making leaps and bounds. And so I don't understand why people, so many otherwise smart people and leaders in the industry, can't imagine a couple, you know, iterations down the road to where, yeah, we're still going to need people, but what percentage of the people are we going to need? And I would say, we don't need, you know, it's maybe like 5% of the current people who are making, you know, kind of the boring wall art that people buy just so there's a piece of wall art there, not because it's some great, you know, work of art. I think we're probably going to need about 3% of those people that we currently have. And the fiction writers, I don't know, that to me, it's probably, like I said, this one artist or writer. Now, of course, she might not, you know, I only knew about her today. So who knows, maybe she's not indicative, and maybe she doesn't understand enough to judge, but seems to me like she does. If we can write short stories that are at high school grade level now, surely we can't be too far away from being able to write stories that I would read or listen to, especially if they're almost free, or maybe they are going to be free, even if it's free with ads. I'm not against free with ads. Now, so we'll see. I kind of hope I'm wrong, because my job is supposed to be one of the easiest, or one of the ones that are on the chopping block. So I hope I'm wrong, but it sure seems to me to be pretty obvious, and you don't have to go too far into the future or look too far in the past to see the progress is being made. Let's see, is there any other related points that I thought worth making? No, those are the main ones. Okay, I'm going to end this.
You have
have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.